I'd invite you to open to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. As you find your place there, I ask that you stand out of respect for the Word of God. Just going to read a few verses this morning. Let's begin with verse number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if any man, if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Father, we're grateful for your word this morning, and as we spend just a few moments in it, we ask that you'll bless us with understanding and application. Well, for your glory, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. This morning, as we anticipate beginning the Sunday school contest next week, I thought it'd be appropriate to just simply bring a simple message on the importance of Sunday school. A lot of churches are dropping off Sunday school anymore today, dropping one service after another. I think Sunday school is still important. What a lot of them will do is they will move the Sunday school from the morning before the morning service to the evening service and label it small groups. And essentially what they've done is canceled Sunday school. And obviously you know where I stand on that subject. I think Sunday school belongs where Sunday school belongs. And as far as I'm concerned, it needs to stay there. And so I think this is a good message this morning just to establish, or I should perhaps say reestablish, why we as a church have Sunday school, but also in an attempt to encourage you, if you're not used to being in Sunday school, to at least consider coming to Sunday school, because Sunday school is important. If it wasn't important, there'd be no reason to have it. And so the reason we read the passage before us is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 2, is commonly referred to as the key verse for Sunday school. He says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses." In other words, he's saying to Timothy, look, you heard me say a lot of things. Now, he's not talking about the times when they talked about the weather or how the trip went or how you're doing. He's not talking about those kind of things. He says, the things that you heard of me are the doctrinal issues, the truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the truth that God did simply speak these worlds into existence, the truth that God does hear and answer prayer. All these things that Paul was preaching, Timothy was there and hearing as Paul preached it, and it was Paul's public preaching. It wasn't just Paul taking Timothy aside and training him one-on-one. But it was his public preaching among many witnesses. Paul says, you remember what I said. You remember the doctrinal stance I took and the teachings of the Word of God. He says, I want you to take those things in the rest of this verse. He says, the same, those same things you heard me preach, those same things you heard me teach. He says, I want you to commit them to faithful men. In other words, he says to Timothy, Timothy, you gather a group of men together and you take those things that I taught you and you teach those same things to them. And so Timothy, that first of all, tells him that, Timothy, you've got to learn those things well enough to teach them. Now, there's an old saying that is very true, and if you've never tried it out, I'd encourage you to do it. That if you want to learn what the Word of God has to say, the quickest way to learn it is to teach it. Because studying for a lesson, whether it be in Sunday school, and it doesn't matter what age group, but for you to teach a 40-minute class, it's going to require you to study a lot longer than that. And you're going to learn a lot more things in the process of studying for that one class than what you're going to give to your students. It's just the way it always works.
And so if you want to learn the Word of God, you've got to be able to teach it. But as you teach it, you've got to have a firm grasp on it. And that's why we offer the Bible Institute. And let me put a little plug in for that. We're about a month and a half away from starting that up. And if you've ever thought about learning the Bible better, we start the first Monday night after Labor Day. Let me encourage you to enroll in that. You will learn a great deal in the 3 years it takes to get through the Bible Institute. But Paul's saying, Timothy, you heard me preach. I hope you've learned those things well enough for you then to teach others. And then look what it says, the progression here. The last phrase of verse number 2, who shall be able, the who is these faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Now praise God that Paul took his part in this process seriously. He did teach Timothy. He did train Timothy. He did pass down the truths of God's Word. And Timothy, praise the Lord, took it seriously because Timothy learned these things. And Timothy then taught faithful men and gathered a group of faithful people, faithful to God, not faithful to him, faithful to the Word of God, who wanted to learn the Word of God. And Timothy taught those individuals. And then those individuals also took it seriously because they grasped those truths and those doctrinal statements, and they then went out and gathered themselves a group of people, and they taught them and invested in them who took it seriously, and on it went down through the centuries until we come to our church today, a direct descendant of what was going on here, and we're still teaching these things, and we're still having a Sunday school hour where we invest in the lives of others. Then invest in those that are faithful. You see, that's a key point. Commit thou to faithful men. Now, I just simply have three simple points on that idea of faithful men. As we attend Sunday school, and as we have Sunday school as a church, the first thing it does is it demonstrates our love to our Savior. It demonstrates our love to our Savior when we come to Sunday school because we're being faithful to God. Notice what it tells us in... let me not get ahead of myself here. But if we're faithful to Him, we're going to learn everything we can about our Savior. Look what it tells us in the book of Philippians chapter 3. Now remember, Philippians was written late in Paul's life. Paul had already done everything, pretty much everything, listed in the book of Acts by the time God got around to giving him what we know as the book of Philippians. And at this point in Paul's life, certainly mature physically, but also mature spiritually, Paul has this to say. We're talking about demonstrating our love for the Savior. Now, how do we demonstrate our love for the Savior? We demonstrate it by learning everything we can about Him. Now, if you're married, do you know more about your spouse today than the day you got married? Now, you're just as married today as you were back then, but my guess is you probably know them a lot better. Now, you know them better for several different reasons, spending time with them, but hopefully you desire to know who they are and what they enjoy and how to please them. That's part of being a good spouse. And the relationship is the same with our Savior. We need to know what He enjoys and how we can please Him and how we can serve Him. Look at what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 8. He says, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss. Now, when he says the all things, he's referring to what had just gone on before, what he had just stated. And he was talking about his pedigree before he came to Christ and how he had so much going for him in the world's terms. And he says, I count it all but dung. I count all but loss for the excellency of what? The knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Paul's saying that there is nothing, absolutely nothing of greater value than the knowledge of Christ. You think Paul loved the Lord who saved him? I think Paul loved God a lot. And Paul demonstrates that love by striving to get to know Christ better. In fact, getting to know Him so much better that there was nothing He wasn't willing to give up for Christ. And of course, the question that should be asked after that is obvious. How much are we willing to give up in order to get to know Christ a little bit better? My body's made up of flesh just like yours, and it enjoys and even requires rest. We're talking about the importance of Sunday school and being in Sunday school, how it demonstrates our love for the Savior, because we're learning everything about Him that we possibly can. You're in Philippians chapter 3. Look down just a couple of verses to verse number 10. Paul, in a very mature state in his spiritual life, says this, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Paul, again, in verse number 10, is talking about getting to know God and not just know Him, the facts about Him, that He was God in the flesh, that He spoke all the worlds into existence, that He was virgin-born, that He died a substitutionary death for us on the cross. More than just that head knowledge of our Savior, but he wanted to know experientially who Jesus Christ was. He wanted to know the power of His resurrection. He wanted to know the fellowship of His sufferings. He wanted to experience Christ working in his life. Now, I would have to guess that by this point in Paul's life, Paul had already experienced those things. But now that Paul's saying at this point in his life, I think what he's saying is, I am not yet satisfied with my knowledge of these things. He says, I am not content with experiencing the power of God in my life up to this point. Because I think God has greater power and more majesty and wants to do more with me even now that I'm imprisoned and unable to get out. He was a classic case of a shut-in, wasn't he? He wasn't going anywhere. Providentially hindered. But he wanted to know the power of Christ's resurrection. He wanted to get to know Christ better. And again, the question is obvious. Do you really want to get to know Christ better? We're talking about the importance of Sunday school and that it demonstrates our love for our Savior by learning all about Him that we possibly can. A second way it demonstrates our love for the Savior is by learning all the commands that He has given. Look over in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Now, we're going to start out by talking about knowing Him in relationship to the commandments of God. And then we're going to bring it into more relevant to demonstrating our love for the Savior. But in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 2, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby do we know that we know Him. How do we know if we know our Savior? If we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. And so the Apostle John is saying, you can tell how much you love Christ, how much you know Him. It's by how you keep His commandments. Now, how can we keep commandments that we're not even aware of? How can we keep commandments that we don't even know God stated or has laid upon us? The only way we're going to get to know the commandments of God is if we know the Word of God. And the only way we're going to know the Word of God is to take every opportunity we have to learn of His Word and of those commandments. And so, again, the importance of the Sunday school is that it demonstrates our love for the Savior by learning all the commandments that He has given. Turn over, if you would, to chapter 5, verse number 3. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 3. On the same thought of learning all the commands He has given us. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. You know, one thing that we should hesitate to say, I can't drink or I can't smoke. Because neither one of those are actually the truth. You can if you choose to. And so the way we should make those statements is I choose not to cuss. I choose not to do all these things, all these things that the world says a Christian shouldn't do. And the Word of God, by the way, will amen just about every last one of them. But we as Christians argue against it and say, where in the Bible does it say, thou shalt not? Where does it say it? That's what they'll say. What they're saying, in essence, is that His commandments are grievous. And we're saying that His commandments are grievous. What we're saying is that I don't really love Him as much as I think I do. Because that's exactly what this verse is telling us. For this is the love of God. When it says the love of God, it's not saying God's love for us, but it's our love for God. This is the love for God that we keep His commandments. And not just that we keep Him, not just conformity, and His commandments are not grievous. It's not difficult to keep the commandments of God. I don't have a hard time not cussing. It doesn't bother me that I don't cuss. I don't feel like I'm losing out because I don't have what's called colorful language. It doesn't bother me that I don't go out and drink booze. It doesn't bother me at all. They might go out and have their fun, as they term it. That doesn't bother me. I don't feel like I'm giving up on anything or missing anything. That's what Christian parents hear so often is, aren't you afraid your kids are going to feel like they're missing out? They praise God they missed out on some stuff. Aren't you? I'm glad there's things I didn't do and that I didn't allow them to do. You see, God's commandments are not grievous. It's a pleasure and a privilege to obey God. Because God gives His commandments to us for our good. It's like the guardrail on a winding road going up a mountain. And on the other side of that guardrail is a steep cliff. The commandments are the guardrail to keep us from falling off and having a crisis in our life. And if we believe that God's commandments are not wise or are not right or are not our responsibility, and we decide to drive off that cliff, sometimes you wind up on your own because God doesn't always catch you. And it's when you hit the bottom that you realize the mistake you've made. And then it's hard to get back up and get on the road. Now, it's possible to get back up and get on the road. The Bible says a just man falls seven times and rises again. We all are going to fall. But are we giving an effort to keep the commandments of God? Are we giving an effort to learn all these commandments of God? And that's why we have a Sunday school where we can go through methodically, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, through the Bible so you can learn what God has for you. Right now in the, for lack of a better term, we should come up with some fancy names for our Sunday school classes like most churches do, but we have our young adults and our other adults. I teach the other adult class up here. Right now we're going through a survey of the New Testament. We're taking the whole New Testament and we're taking them not in the order they're written, but we're taking them in the order that they were given to us. In other words, chronologically. Although we're kind of bogged down in 1 Corinthians because I've always wanted to do a study on 1 Corinthians. So we're in the middle of 1 Corinthians. We're talking about love this morning in chapter 13. Chapter 14 is spiritual gifts. 15 is the resurrection of Christ. Good stuff. But then we'll get back more to a survey. But we're learning the Bible. What does God have for us? Do you love God enough to come to Sunday school? You see, coming to Sunday school demonstrates our love for the Savior by learning all we can about Him and by learning all the commandments He has given. The second thing Sunday school does is it demonstrates our obedience to the Scripture. Demonstrates our obedience to the Scripture. Look in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And I have the wrong verse. Let's start with verse 24. Hebrews chapter 10, 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. This is a commandment. This isn't a suggestion. God says this is something that we should apply ourselves to, and we should encourage others to come to the assembling of ourselves together. God commands us. As we see the day approaching, now what day is He talking about that's approaching? The day that's approaching is the coming of Christ. We know that He could come at any moment. His return is imminent. The trumpet call could sound and Jesus Christ could proclaim, "Come up hither," as He's standing in the clouds waiting for us to be changed in an instant in the twinkling of an eye. It could happen today. That day is close. And as we see that day coming, as we see the world events coming together, I don't think there's anything more telling than in this last presidential election. And Hillary Clinton really took a lot of criticism because she talked about open borders with both to the north and the south and to the east and the west, is opening the borders of America and let everybody come through and go through. The reason she's stating that is because that's what they're pushing for, is a one world government. Now, what does the one world government have to do with the day that's fast approaching? Because the Antichrist will rise up and take control of a one world government. It's something that was unthought of even 100 years ago. Well, they thought of it. They started the the Federation of Nations that then became the United Nations after World War II. They were thinking about it, about trying to everybody get along. But there are so many local skirmishes, but now they're trying to abolish all borders. Look what happened in Europe with the European Union. They're trying to establish it. We can go on and on about the signs of the times that the day is fast approaching. I was reading this week about a company, I think it was somewhere in upstate New York, that has offered their employees a microchip in their hand, right here, in the skin of between their thumb and their finger, the size of a rice. And when they would check or come into work, instead of having a time card, they just swipe their hand. When they go to the break room and want to buy something out of the vending machine, they just swipe their hand. And as they were talking about, and this is the chip comes from a company in Europe, and it's being implemented all over Europe, this chip in the hand. And the idea is to have all your medical information on there, all of your financial information on there, everything you can imagine, the size of a grain of rice implanted in your hand. The day is fast approaching. That'll take place at the halfway mark of the tribulation period, the mark of the beast. If the day's fast approaching, what does Hebrews 10:25 command us to do? Not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now, we've got to define some of these terms. I think we can understand it, but let me just say it, not taking anything for granted. What is the assembling of ourselves together? It's talking about church. It's talking about church. I believe we should be in church every time the doors are open. I know some people think I'm crazy, and you're probably right. But I've thought this ever since I got saved. And I'm glad I did. You know, there isn't any secret to why some Christians grow faster than other Christians. The Christians who grow faster are the ones who are in church when the doors are open. The ones who don't grow quite as rapidly are those that don't. Well, we have a Sunday school so that you can be obedient to this commandment of not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. It demonstrates your obedience to the Scriptures to have church services. Now, you think, well, Sunday school is not all that important. Let's just cancel it and we don't have to worry about it. That's true. This verse then wouldn't apply. But maybe we should think about the example of the first century church. Turn over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Now, I'd love to have their standard. I'd love to be able to practice what they practice. But the fact is, we don't. Now, they were greatly blessed. They saw multitudes coming on a daily basis to Christ and being added to their number. Wouldn't you love to have that? Well, it took some things ahead of time. It took some obedience to the Scriptures on their part. Look at what they say in verse 46. And they continually, how often? Continuing daily with one accord in the temple. Now, the temple was where the church met for services. They were having church every day of the week. every day. Think about that. We have a 4-day revival, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and when it's all done, we're going, whew, man, I'm whipped. I'm glad that's over. Can you imagine every day they met for church? You realize that if we took our practice into the first century, coming to Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then again on Wednesday, do you realize they would probably question our salvation if that's all we went to church? That's what they did. What an example they set for us. Now, I'm not advocating coming to church every day of the week as much as I'd like it. As Amy said years ago, and I've mentioned it before, that if we had church on Monday, we could call it leftovers, Monday's leftovers, because I could preach the parts of my sermons I didn't get to on Sunday. We just call it the Bible Institute instead. But you don't get leftovers. But they went to church every day of the week. Were they crazy? Yeah, they were crazy, but they loved the Lord and they were obedient to the Scriptures, and multitudes were added to Christ on a daily basis. Nowadays, we see as many as we see saved, and our number right now is sitting just over 80 since last August, which isn't a bad number, especially for a church our size, but we would take that back into this criteria, into this culture of Acts chapter 4, or Acts chapter 2 and through there, and they would look at you and wonder, what's wrong with you? Why only so few? You see, they did things differently. They had a real commitment to the Scriptures, and they were always in their place, demonstrating their obedience to the Scripture, and God blessed it. So the Sunday school is important because it demonstrates our love for the Savior, it demonstrates our obedience to Scripture, but thirdly, it demonstrates our appreciation for His sacrifice. I don't think there's any better Scripture to go to than Romans chapter 12 on this one. The fourth word is the important word in this first verse of Romans chapter 12. On face value, it doesn't seem like a very important word. It's the word therefore. In and of itself, it's not a significant word. It's not got a lot of doctrinal meaning built into it. What it's saying is, for the purposes of what was just written, and when we consider what was just written, the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans, which are considered primarily the doctrinal part of it, begins at creation in chapter 1, and it goes through all of salvation, of what Christ did for us, how He was God who spoke the worlds into existence. And then we come down here to chapter 12. It says, I beseech you, therefore, because of all these things, of who Christ is and what He did for you. It says, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you really appreciate the sacrifice He made for you? How do you show it? Sunday school comes at 9:30, which when I was growing up, my mom's excuse always was Sunday was her only day to sleep in. Seriously, she told us that time after time after time when we asked her why she never went to Sunday school. Aren't you glad Christ was willing to leave heaven? I'm sure that was a lot more comfortable for Him than us getting up early, an hour earlier. You really appreciate what He did for you when He sacrificed on the cross? Now, He gave His life. I don't think we can compare that to anything that we've ever done for our Savior, including being in Sunday school. Sunday school is important. I wanted to start the message off this morning with a lot of really cool quotes about Sunday school. You know, just about every single quote I found about Sunday school involved only the little children. And I actually had people tell me this in the past. They don't come to Sunday school because Sunday school is for kids. Is that true? Well, it is true for kids, but I think adults love the Savior too. And I think adults are obedient and want to be obedient to the Scripture too. And I think adults especially appreciate the sacrifice Christ made for them. So the question is, how about you? Will you be in your place next Sunday and see what you can do to bring someone with you? Father, we're grateful for this church and how you've raised it up and had a Sunday school all these years and how you've worked through it. And Father, for the importance this church has always placed on the Sunday school hour. Father, help us, the current generation of this church family, to recognize its importance and to be faithful for all the reasons mentioned just now in the message. Father, we dedicate this time of invitation to you for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.